Shalom Chanukah, we have permission to learn Chassidus. Everything's about, whenever it's a Yontif, anything you're learning is about that Yontif. It's all about Chanukah. The whole thing's about Chanukah. Chanukah is the Nin of Shem, and is this Pnimius, is Rosen de Rosen. This is the deepest secret of Torah. Even though Yayin, normally by a Sudi you have Lechem, there's bread, and Mayim, bread and water, that's Nigla. That's revealed Torah. Wine, I mean, that you have to have. Bread and water, you can't live with that. You can't live with that. That's halacha, that's shulchan aruch, that's gemara. You can't live without it. Yain is already rosin deraisa. Wine already is a luxury. It's already mishnichdas yain. Wine you could have separately also, but shemen you can't have on its own. Any person who just has shemen means the deepest secrets of Torah. On its shemen is good when you put it with salads, with foods. If you just have shemen, it's very, very dangerous. It's not good. But together with everything else, it makes life delicious. So when you learn chassidus, that's certainly pnimius shemen is the din of Chanukah. We were talking last week. We have really a lot to do. It might be this time or one more time, I think. Or maybe what we need, we could finish this time. What we need, nothing. It would be wonderful to finish the whole, to finish till the end of the Maimer, where he ties it all together with Eretz Yisrael and Vahikisavo, it's mamish beautiful, but I'm anxious to get to Perches, so we'll suffice with the little that we're going to do of this part of the Maimer. We're talking about the big question. The big question is that Nisavak Rishbaruch Liyashli Yisbaruch Diyar B'Sachton, that Hashem expressed Kivyochel his desire to dwell in the physical world. And that raises a very important question, the most basic question: what does that mean to dwell in the world? Esar Shemayim v'Esar Tzanimola, Hashem fills all reality. What does that mean that He seeks to dwell in the world? Yoinim Sachtana. What does the Bechlal mean, above and below? So we were explaining, the Rebbe Ashabi was explaining that of course it doesn't have to do with any physical location. That's absurd. And it has nothing to do with the reality of God's presence, which is everywhere, every second, always. That's what we're not talking about. We're talking about levels of revelation. And we spoke about there being two basic levels of, as you remember, Sovev Kalam, surrounding the world, surrounding reality, and Mimali Kalam, and filling reality. Even though God's presence in this world, the Chlal, that it can be felt, is Ha'or is just like a ray. Remember this? That comes from the sun. It's not the sun itself. It would be the sun itself, we wouldn't be able to live. It's just a Ha'or mamish, a flash of God's, of that light that comes from the infinite essence of God. But it enters into our lives on two levels. And the Rebbe, as you recall, gave the mashal, as far as the body is concerned, there's a general life energy and force that keeps us going. And that's the same from head to toe. It's just being alive. That's called the surrounding, encompassing light of who we are. It gives us life. Then, of course, there is the light that penetrates, and that surrounding light that penetrates and descends into the arms, the eyes, the feet, and so on. And then has a unique, that light is expressed in a unique way through that particular aver, that particular part of the body. When it comes to the eyes, it's in the form of seeing, the ears, the form of hearing, and so on. So too, Hashem's light, kivyachal, that's called surrounding all worlds, which is very, very powerful, very remarkable. It's a general light that enlivens all of reality. Our purpose as Jews, and we're going to talk more about why that's specifically our purpose as Jews, our purpose here is through our avodas Hashem, through our serving of Hashem, and what we're going to see is to explain what we were learning all along in the Maral, is davka through mitzvahs maisiyas, davka through physical mitzvahs more than anything else, to be able to extract or to draw from that surrounding light to channel it into that which is called mimali kalam, a light that fills reality and is revealed in our lives, just like we spoke about with electricity, the difference between it being in the generator or in the company and it coming through the iron and the radio and the other appliances, the fridge. So we're trying through our avodas Hashem, and the mitzvahs are all designed, as we'll see. Each mitzvah is designed to be able to draw into this world from that surrounding light, and to bring it into into this world and to reveal it in this world. This is the deeper meaning of Hashem's desire to dwell in this world. It has nothing to do with geography, that Hashem's here and He's not there. Hashem is everywhere. It doesn't mean that. It means to reveal godliness in this physical world. Now we're up to where it says Vizel Chayv Adam Levarach Meir Brachas B'chol Yom. That's where we were just up to. It's past halfway. The first word on the sentence is V'chulei. It says Vizel. The second word and third of Vizel Chayv Adam Levarach Meir Brachas B'chol Yom. You have that. Now, I told you there are certain parts here that are more Kabbalistic than others, and those parts are not for us right now. So we're going to try to get through some of the more turbulent sections over here peacefully. The main thing is the next page. We know the Chazal have told us. The Gemara tells us that a Jew should make a minimum of 100 brachas a day. 100 brachas a day. The number 100 is extremely significant, and it connects, as I mentioned, we just began with this last week, it connects to the highest level of God's will, which is called the crown. The number 100, without going into why or how, that's not important. For now, it's not. It's important, and the entire universe depends on it. But it's not for our discussion right now. And the Zohar says b'feirus. It's clear in the Zohar that the crown, the highest level of godliness, is somehow drawn into this world specifically through the 100 brachas. There's a very high level of godliness that takes place when we make those brachas. Vinyan habracha. And what is bracha? So we began with this last week. What's a bracha? Bracha means something that was hidden and now it's revealed. That's what a bracha is. And I spoke about this. Listen, even when you give somebody a bracha, what are you saying? But the Baruch Shalom is not capable of taking care of this Jew. You have to help along. What are you doing? You say you should have shef and achis and bracha. You should have gezunt. You should have panosa. And you know it's a very big thing for a Jew to wish another Jew those things. But what does it mean? What does it mean mazel tov? What does it mean, mazel tov? What does it mean, mazel tov? Mazel tov is good luck. People think it means good luck. Good luck, we don't believe in luck. Good luck is kfira. Good luck is apikos. Not to say such a thing, good luck. I mean, we say it because it doesn't mean anything. But luck, so what does mazel mean? Mazel is from the word nozel. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, if you tell somebody that you have... what does it mean if there's a nozelot or nozel? It means you're dripping. Right? Nozel means when something drips. Yizal katal imrasi. Right? It means something is flowing down. That's mazel. The meaning of mazel, and when you say mazel tov to a Jew, mazel tov, what it means is that by my giving you a bracha, by my saying yishav panos and nachas and so on, I am making an effort to draw that which is part of that surrounding light, which is a general light that enlivens all reality, and I'm trying to bring it into the appliance. Remember, to the refrigerator, to the clock. I'm trying to draw it into something specific. So I say, Panosa, you should help you with Panosa, and so on. That's not just like a nice thing. You're a good guy. You say nice things to people. And when you say brachas also. And when the Kahanim Duchen, as I explained last week, Levarches Am Yisrael B'Ahava, a bracha takes something that wasn't seen, just like electricity, again, using the moshul, just because it's the easiest one to use. I have no use for it. The fact that it's in Con Edison doesn't do anything for me. What I need to do is I need to get this thing to work. Right? I need to get the refrigerator to turn on. I need to get the lamp to go on. The bracha, and again, we spoke about this, it's in Lashon of Brecha, which is a pool, is drawing Inyan Abrachas Bechinas Gilui. A bracha means something which is hidden and now you're trying to reveal it. You're trying to bring it into this focused appliance of reality. This is the difference between bracha and haidah. See, Chanukah is already here. That's the difference between bracha and haidah. Kedei lahayda, this is Chanukah. A blessing is not a good word. A bracha, I don't have to translate. The difference between bracha and hoda'ah. Hoda'ah, giving thanks. The Hoda Hu She'ino Meya Begilui Shebezeh Shayach Rak Hoda. Hoda means that something is not yet illuminating and clear in a perfectly obvious way. Shebezeh Shayach Rak Hoda, to give thanks. Ubracha Hu She'meya Begilui. Bracha means when something is absolutely revealed and clear. In the Siddur it says, in the Jewish of Lagbaimer, so Baruch Atah Hashem. So when you say the words Baruch Atah Hashem, what does it mean? The Shem Havaya, the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, means the closest that you and I can get to speaking about God in His essence. It's the surrounding light of all reality. It's that first flash or illumination that comes from the infinite. That's Hashem, Yudke Vavke. And you're saying Baruch Ata Havaya. Baruch Ata Yudke Vavke means that I am, through that bracha, through my words, Hashem gave us this koach, to draw from that surrounding light that's called Yudke Vavke, that it should become part of this world, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Mamish, to ground it into the appliances of this world. Yor, that what? That which is Soyu Kalam, Yor Begilui B'Melech Ha'olam, that it should be revealed now completely through that which is called King of this world, Melech Ha'olam, Mamish. Shorish Makar Olam, Mechinus Ha'mamali Kalam, which means to fill all the worlds, Lios Ha'gilui Ba'olam, to be revealed in this world. V'am Shorchazumi Ha'helem Ha'gilui, this drawing from that which is hidden to that which is revealed, Ha'inu Ha'mechinus Or Ein Sof Sheb'helem, Yeh Ha'mechinus Gilui, that infinite light of God should now be revealed, L'maisa, that this fruit should give me the koyach, or this particular mitzvah, which is the equivalent of the appliance that we've been talking about in the Moshul, should function and should work and reveal godliness. Hu bekoach nishmas Yisrael. Only Jews have the koyach to do this. A guy could be the nicest person in the world, and he could do many, many wonderful things. But as far as these hamshachas are concerned, drawing from the surrounding light and transforming it into inner light that fills the appliances of this world in reality to change the cosmos, that the only way that a non-Jew could do that, a guy could do that, is by in his relationship with a Jew, by God forbid hurting a Jew or helping a Jew, indirectly. It's a grama bin a zikin, he could be. But as far as what he could to oif, what can he pile in the oilamis? He can't pile in the oilamis. He can't affect the worlds in such a way. That's it. So you always wonder, what does that mean? Baruch was Hashem. So in English, praise God. How many times? What do you want me to do? I mean, I already told you, praised. Blessed be God. Baruch is meaning I am actively involved in this amazing cosmic process of drawing into this brecha of physical reality, the yudke vavke of the surrounding light, to fill reality and to draw godliness into this world. Whether I see it or I don't see it, that's not the point. This is what's happening. The bracha of amshocha, the shem havaya is arak b'karach nishmas Yisrael. Meshen nishmas Yisrael. Now why is that? So now the Rebbe Rashab explains, so why is that? How come only Jews can do that? How come a guy can't do that?
Is he saying that the bracha is giving more than does praise, or the bracha is praise?
Bracha is praise, because in fact what's happening is that by my drawing godliness into this world and revealing godliness, obviously that means that now he can be praised. He can be more appreciated, can be more revealed, more understood and experienced.
But
it's inaccurate thing to say.
Borrow the wrong phrase. Are we saying God is great, or
no?
Saying
that's not really what it means.
God should be blessed by us, or whatever that means.
That's not really what it means. And if you look in the Nefesh HaChaim, that's not what it means. That's not what a bracha is. There's no word in English, I don't think, for it. There's no word in English, so they use the word blessed. I don't know what they use in the art school. Maybe they try to praise. I don't know what they use in the art school. Any of you remember what it says there for baruch atah Hashem? I don't know what it says, but. You know, so I don't know what I know for sure. On the old ones, it was always blessed the Awesome. But that's not really what Baruch means. That's not what Baruch means. So now, why is it that only a Jew could do this? Now, here it's going to be a little bit complicated because of the Kabbalah Zachen. But the basic idea I think we'll be able to get, and then from there to move on to the Indian of Mitzvahs Maisius. and the advantage that mitzvahs have over words. Brachas are words. That's great. Words are great. Saying good words, saying Jewish words, that's terrific. And it could draw Yudkei Vavkei into this world and to transform Yudkei Vavkei, which is hidden, into Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, which is revealed. But there's nothing as powerful as mitzvahs maisis, physical mitzvahs. But now, why is it that a Jew can do this? Zerak b'karach nishmas Yisrael. M'meisha nishmas Yisrael yeshmam karach ha-mesiris nefesh. A Jew, and only a Jew. It makes no difference if you tell me that Mother Teresa went out to, and she lived with a mitzaroyim her whole life. Mesiris nefesh is a Jewish karach. The karach, only nishmas Yisrael yeshmam karach ha-mesiris nefesh. To give over one's life. Heina mysterious nefesh. You know what that stands for?
What it stands for?
Bepoyolomaisa, which means that Jews have the ability to give up their lives. Bepoyolomaisa, which means mamish, to die. Shemesirus nefesh akidish Hashem. To die, to sanctify Hashem's name.
What do we call it? The Arabs think they're doing.
It's bechlal not, and it's not, and it's also not. It's also not when that someone tells you if you kill my dog, I'm gonna kill me before you kill my pet. Kill me before you kill my poodle. That's not called mesiris nefesh. That's in the Tanya. Yuches mechav. What does it say over there?
Blessed.
Okay. There's nothing really. I don't know what else they could say. It's not that, unless you write a whole paragraph each time. Be a lot of pages in there. But that's not called Mesiris Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. For kid, it's all a taiva. They themselves tell you. If you ask the Muslim, he'll tell you, because it's Gevaldig, Gan Eden. That, and here you'll have a Jew who his whole life didn't put on tefillin, didn't keep Shabbos, and he's Mesiris Nefesh Pol Maisa. I'll shame that he's a Yid and he's not going to give up the name. Not to gain anything, not for anything external. Because he doesn't even know what's an Olam Haba. Every single Muslim thinks that he's going to have a big party when he gets to Olam Haba. This Yidl never put on tefillin, never davened, doesn't know anything what's in Olam Haba. But Poy Lamaisa, he can't stand being cut. All he knows is that I'm a Jew, and I'm not going to let anybody take that away from me, even at the expense of my life. But there's a lot more to it, but it's really explained in the Tanya. Shemesiris Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. That's the language of his illustrious ancestor, of the Baal Tanya. Feel kal shabakalim. That even the posh the yid, even a simple Jew, a kal shabakalim, meaning nobody, a regular guy. People like us. That feel kal shabakalim. Upoyshe Yisrael. Even sinners. Jews, as I said, their whole lives, they're chal Shabbos, eating tarfis. Moisrim navshim al kiddush Hashem. History has proven there are rare exceptions to this, and it's only because there was a lack of understanding, some intellectual error. Not because if he would have understood that it means that he's not a Jew, just the person thinks that he is a Jew. But if he were to understand that if I give in to this avodah zarah, this idolatry, that I am no longer a Jew, that I'm no longer connected to Hashem, he would die kiddush Hashem. So he says, even Paishi Yisrael, even sinners, Moisir Nafshim Akidish Hashem, to give up their lives, Akidish Hashem, Memnei She'eni Yochalios Nifred Me'elakuz, because the essence of a Jew, he feels he can't be separated from God. He doesn't know that when he turns on a light on Shabbos that he's being separated from God. He'll say, I don't know, why would God care if I turn on a light? Why would God possibly care if I turn on a light? I had this conversation yesterday afternoon. There's a student of mine who, unfortunately, his father passed away, but the doctor wanted to pull out the life support system, wanted to pull out the plug. And I said to the doctor, that at this point, that certainly is not acceptable according to Jewish law, and please I'm asking you not to do that, and the family, I've notified the family not to give you permission to do that. So he was Jewish, not religious, so he said, I don't understand. Don't you think God wants this person to be comfortable? This is uncomfortable for the person. And God wants the person. So I said, look, what am I going to do? Are you going to explain to me everything you studied in medical school for the last 10 years? I should start talking to you about Talmud? This is the way we do things. And we're not discussing it right now. This is what I've told the family, and this is what you're pleased to do. But he doesn't know. See, he's a nice guy. And in his way of looking at things, it would make the man more comfortable. So he doesn't realize that by pulling out a plug, if Hashem says that that's called, if it would be called halachically murder, I'm not talking about whether you have to save the guy, but by pulling out his life support, if that would halachically be called murder, he could think he's the nicest guy in the world. And we spoke about this in Maral at length. But when he pulls out that plug, he's separating from Elokus. It's the same thing when a Jew moves Muks on Shabbos. He can never imagine. He doesn't think that he's unplugging the appliance. He's pulling out the plug from the fridge. He's just moving something. He takes this and he goes like this. No, what's an afkim and evitzio? You think God cares? No. So the only reason he's not Maisa Nefesh or Kiddush Hashem, the reason that because he doesn't know, that he doesn't understand that he's doing something that's taking him away from God. But once it dawns upon a Jew that you're taking him away from God and he's not going to be a Jew, then he can't take it. I feel kashrut b'kam, paish Yisrael. Even those Jews, even that there are Jews that because of certain social economic pressures they converted out of the religion. They also don't understand. It's poshut atos. But when a Jew understands his mois nefesh, you see, by the Arabs, it's v'nahapichu. If the Arab were to understand, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it b'shem ayfen. He just doesn't chab. He doesn't chab. But if a Jew chabs, he dies like Kiddush Hashem. He can't be separate from Elokus. Well, Kamar Chayin, that's one level of Mesiris Nefesh, which means literally dying for the sake of Hashem. Well, Kamar Chayin, there's another type of Mesiris Nefesh, which is the one we need to talk about more. Well, Kamar Chayin, Mesiris Nefesh Baruchnis, spiritually. Self-sacrificing, Mesiris Nefesh in a spiritual way. Sha'arots and Poshesh, Lamal Mitam Vedash, Jemitshim Sel Davke. What does that mean? Mesiris Nefesh, look, 5 minutes... 5 minutes before, you could be yelling at your kid, you're this, you're this, you're that, I can't believe it, you're unsuccessful, you're and then if you would get a phone call in the middle of berating your child, if you get a phone call that child, God forbid, has to be rushed because some test came and has to be taken immediately for blood transfusion, then all of that is batel mavutel. All of the tainus and problems and difficulties. Why? Because the love that you have for your child is not it's not something which is mitnetam vedas. It's not I love my kid because. Sometimes God forbid we fall into that because we're so shallow. So we love our children because it's a good thing Hashem doesn't think of us like that because we've been gacked at sorrows. Because there's nothing to follow the because. So. A parent's love for a child is lamal b'tam v'das. It's not totally what I know about my kid or understand. It's just the reality of who you are. It's something which it comes from a place that can't be explained. Similarly, only a Jew has this ability, because godliness is part of who he is. Only a Jew has the ability to be moisa nefesh and mesiris nefesh in a way to go on serving Hashem. Now, I've asked this people, you know, over the years, thousands of times. Someone's come to tell me he's talking about the Holocaust and this and that, and he can, and it doesn't make any sense, and what does God know, what does God care, you know, all the kashas. And I ask him, so tell me something. So you eat chametz on Pesach? Chas v'shalom. And tell me, on Yom Kippur you eat? What? What are you talking about? How can you say such a thing? Why not? I don't get it. God doesn't see, God doesn't care. God makes holocausts, he makes pogroms, he took away your grandfather, your great-grandfather. So why is it that, why is it? It's not mitam b'das. It's something which is above. Hum b'chinas rotzen ha'atzmi, d'or ein seif shalmalu b'chinas tam b'chachma. The same way that God's love, God's connection to a Jew is something which comes from the crown, which means it's from the infinite, it's from his infinite being, which we don't understand. Our connection to God, a Jew's connection to God is infinite. It's not something which is explainable. Which means that Hashem describes himself as our friend. Hashem is our companion. He's our companion. The clawless inyan is havas and the shamus and mirotzna atzmi da in saif. According to the Zohar, Nishmas Yisrael, the soul of a Jew, comes from the highest level of God's will, his infinite being. That's where the soul of the Jew comes from. It doesn't come from, not, going to not come from there. Goyim don't come from there. There is a spiritual dimension to a goy, but it's a whole different neighborhood. It does not come from the infinite, endless essence of God's being. A goy does not come from that place of reality. But the Jew comes mirotzen ha'atzmi de'einsof. V'hu inyan Yisrael olu b'machshava. And that's what it means, that the world was created for the sake of the Jewish people. That Yisrael olu b'machshava means that Hashem thought of the Jewish people and He created a world. But the highest level of God's will is the Jewish people. That's the thought. Everything else Hashem did. But the thought is Nishmas Yisrael as a Jew. That's the thought of Hashem. It's the highest level. The perish Allah Machshava, Hindu, Bechinis HaRatzon, page Tav Resh Mem Vav. Olav Machshava, that term of Olav Machshava. So you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand how come there were, when he was shown a vision of Rabbi Kiva being tortured in the future? Right, the Gemara Menachos, so Rabbi Kiva, first he was shown the greatness of Rabbi Kiva, and then he was shown Rabbi Kiva being they're selling his flesh in the marketplace. So you remember that Moshe Rabbeinu had a good question. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. So you remember what did Hashem tell him? Shtoik. Be silent. Kach ol machshav lefanai. Be silent. This is the thought that has risen before me. Meaning, this is something that is unexplainable and comprehensible, but it comes from the deepest rotzen, from the deepest part of that is infinite, that's beyond man's grasp, that surrounds all being, all creation.
The reason it says Olav Machshava instead of Kach.
That's right, it's Olav Machshava. Olav Machshava. The Chesvam talks about a lot, because it's a Chesvam. Why is it called Olav Machshava? Yeah, that's an explanation of another Maimer. Hanal. V'hu b'chinis kesu shebekesu shalmalim b'chinis chachm shebekesu b'nei sheshor shem b'chinis rotzen ha'atzim b'chein yesh b'kol echa b'echim Yisrael b'chinis ha'rotzen shalmalim b'chem adas. Now, so how come a Jew is prepared to die to be Jewish? And if you ask him, he'll say, I don't know. I never did anything Jewish in my life. Maybe I had a bagel and lox. You know, he thinks that's the only thing that's Jewish. Or, you know, he sent a check to Hadassah, you know. He doesn't know. So then why are you doing that? What's the matter with you? So the Teretz is, since the neshama comes from that place of infinite will, without that's beyond understanding, a Jew experiences that at certain moments, crucial moments in his life. He experiences that for no explainable reason. Because that's where he comes from. That's where he comes from. That's his home base. He just doesn't know it. But the fact that he doesn't know it doesn't stop him from being killed al Kiddush Hashem. He still says, I'm a Jew, I'm going to die a Jew. I'm going to die al Kiddush Hashem. What an unbelievable revelation of the infinite light of God. When the Jew dies like Hashem, what's so amazing about that? What's amazing is not what's at stake, not the fact that there was a life that was lost, which is of course a remarkable thing, but that's not the pnimius of what happens here is that when a Jew is Moisa Nefesh, let's talk about it in a nicer way, he doesn't die, but he's Moisa Nefesh. He's meisa nefesh and ruchnis in the spiritual matter. No matter what, he's not going to eat that thing during the war, during the milchama. You know, he's not going to eat that thing, or he's going to risk his life to help another Jew, even though he's bechlal not religious. He's going to risk his life to help another Jew, right? To go and to do this, not to be to help someone. When that happens, you just stand back and you say, "Wow." You know why? Because it's not something that you could explain. There's nothing you could say about it other than what? That something infinite has just made its way into this finite world. That's all it is. Because this guy is b'chlan not holding by it. Intellectually, morally, he's not holding by it. There's something there, and it's the same thing that gets people to go to a shir late at night, or to be meisa nefesh and ruchnius for somebody, to give tzedakah. Gives tzedakah. It's mesiris nefesh and ruchnius.
What's the other kind of mesiris nefesh
that you're talking about? Dying. Hakadosh Hashem.
Ruchnius
meaning giving up things so that you could serve Hashem. Giving up time, giving up parnasa. I was just talking to somebody this afternoon. There's a brilliant Talmud Chacham that he had an extreme, he's not in New York, but he had out of town a very chashuv position in a big company, and the guy could be making fortunes and fortunes of money, but he wants to learn half a day. In the eyes of the world, that's, you know, that's crazy. Something's crazy. It's a mesivas, and to him is the greatest pleasure. But the mesivas nefesh of a Jew, when he sees something in physical reality, and if he makes certain compromises spiritually, he could have this thing physically. For a Jew to say no to the world, and I don't care about it, and I don't want it. So that's mesivas nefesh. Coming back to the Muslim, his whole mesivas nefesh is only to get something for zich. Right? It's only to get something. It's to gain something. That's all. It's just he figures that in this world, excuse me for being so prost, but this is the way they think. In this world, I have to spend 50, 60 years with this Robinson. You know, I'm not interested in it. But if I blow myself up in Yerushalayim and kill a couple of Jews, then I'm going to have who knows what, the ones from the movies that they didn't let us watch, the Talibans. Then I'm going to get some of those girls, right? Not some, not one of these shepherdesses. So, you hear, it's not chamesiris nefesh. It's no, the whole thing is what? The whole thing is chesed le'umim chattas mamash. It's to gain, it's only to gain. The only a Jew has in the depths of his being something which is a malam itam vidas. What the Muslim is doing is not a malam itam vidas. He has a very good reason for it. And since he's a little kid, he's been hearing about it. They've been telling him about it. And this Jew, who's not religious at all, since he's a little kid, they've been telling him, don't eat kosher, don't do this, don't do that. And the mesivas nefesh the Jew has for Eretz Yisrael. The mesivas nefesh for Eretz Yisrael, what is this? A malam itam vidas. What do you care? What do you care? You have some sort of a shaykhis to this. What do you care? What do you need it for? Move. It's not just a matter of idealism. There's something of the other world that's making its way into this world. And it's a remarkable thing to see. And that comes from the reality, from the pnimius of a Jew whose neshama comes from the infinite will of Hashem, the light of Hashem, that's above anything that's rational or explainable. It's rotzen, it's will, it's love, it's desire that can't be explained. It can't be explained. And when that happens, when there's mesivas nefesh, either literally with Kiddush Hashem, or in Ruchnis spiritually, when there's mesivas nefesh, you are in a very, very powerful way drawing from the surrounding infinite light of the highest level of God's will into this physical world. That's what's happening.
Mesivas nefesh comes from that same call.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. The commercial calls of Suya Dechem Kodesh of Varchu is Havaya, the Bechdesh Yeh HaBrocha, the Shem Havayu, Al Yidei Suya Dechem Kodesh of Megim, Mechines Kodesh Elyon, Al Yerotz and Shlomala. We say that's these are the Shinies from Kabbalah, we're not going to go into right now. Gimel. Vihine. Now you're going to see how the Maral is so lichtig. Every word in the Maral is lichtig. Vina, I'm shochas adeh hamei brachas zeh b'dibur. Say that, drawing godliness into this world by saying the 100 brachas, that's using man's ability to speak, and that's a very, very good thing. Speech has a tremendous power to do that. That's why you say something often enough, it affects you. It has a hashpa over your kelim, over your emotions, your feelings. But that's all the zel b'divu. Omnam, however, hamshochas bechinis atzmus hasoyv kol almin. Now, when you do that, the hamshocha that's taking place, in other words, what you're drawing into reality through making the brachas that take place through speech, although it's a very exalted and remarkable event, where you're taking from the surrounding light and bringing it to this world, it's not anywhere as great as when you're actually omnam hamshochas bechinis atzmus hasoyv kol almin. Not that you're just tapping into that flash, that ray of light, but you're mamish tapping into the essence itself. Hu aydeh ha-maisei davke. Maisei davke. It takes place not through speech, but through physical actions, davke. You know why the Baal Shem Tov loves simple Jews? And the Tzaddik wrote this cipher, who was one of the deepest thinkers in the last 1,000 years, the Rashab. and he has such an ahava for simple Jews. Where does the ahava come from? From a guy that sits and says to him for 2-3 hours. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Or from a person that just, you know, that he does what he's supposed to do without any chachmas. The simple Jews. There are people who, when it comes to inyanim of tam v'das, what they understand, what makes sense to them, they're superstars. But when it comes to those things that are beyond understanding, they fall terribly short. But his davkia knows inyanim that are b'parol l'maisa, the physical acts of a Jew, in accordance to the Shulchan Aruch, davka, those physical acts are drawing from atzmus asav klam shul aydam amaisa, davka, from the essence of that surrounding life. The sevah haya toz da hamizvah. This was the mistake of the generation of the desert. Why? They didn't want the spies, right? They didn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they want to come to Eretz Yisrael? Shilarotzu lichnos la'aretz, men shilarotzu b'mitzvus ma'isis. They saw life in Eretz Yisrael as a terrible spiritual descent, as a letdown, as a disappointment. Because in the Midbar comes from which word? Ledaber. Midbar means from the word medaber. In the desert, one sits and contemplates and talks to. It's a place of meditation, it's a place of tefillah. And they were on the highest level of, like, you know, they were eating the man. This is like the food that the malachim were eating. And the Torah is mamish from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. Hashem is speaking to them from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. The last thing in the world that these tzaddikim wanted, the meraglim wanted, was to come to Eretz Yisrael. What kind of cheshbon? You mean that? Digging and planting and mitzvahs of tliyas baretz. Moshe Rabbeinu says the whole reason he wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael is why? Because it brings the magistrates to come to do the mitzvahs of tliyas baretz. Trumas amaisvahs, shmita, davke, but parol amaisa. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu. You would think that Moshe Rabbeinu said the reason he wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael because he could reach the highest level of connecting to God. That's not what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because he could take off trumas amaisvahs, so he could put aside the pay in the field. He could keep all the dinim of Orla. Or the halachas of Seder Zeroyim, the mitzvah of tliyas baretz, that there could be korbanos, that he could take that a person could take an animal and slaughter it, and that somehow through this physical act that there's unbelievable reach nichoch nachas ruach for Kadosh Baruch Hu. All of these things that Moshe Rabbeinu, well, there were korbanos and also, but we're not getting to that. So yes, Gemara and Chum. But all of this is all that Moshe Rabbeinu longed for was what was the mitzvah ma'isis. The generation that was there in the desert, they saw the physical life of Eretz Yisrael as a terrible letdown. That they didn't want that. They wanted to remain in that place of the Midbar, of being Medabrim.
Midbar? I thought Medabrim was the Midbar, they were pretty much taken care of for them. But they asked them to Talmud Torah. Versus the aspect in Eretz Yisrael was just mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs, there was less time for Torah because they were busy for mitzvahs. But I thought that was not the Nakuda, because, I mean, if you said like the time of the Talmud, the same time of
Torah. I mean, the mitzvahs, potatoes, lost at Lava.
Yeah, the time of Torah, and I thought that was not the Nakuda. The Nakuda was that they didn't recognize the concept of the Kaddish, the whole, not necessarily the mitzvahs, Meisis.
But the mitzvahs, Meisis, as the primary means of being the Kaddish, the whole. That through observing all the mitzvahs as they apply to the meisim shachal, that's the main way of extracting the latent kaiches of all reality. But it's true, b'chol drechecha de'ehu. But I think that we agree that the problem of the meraglim was that in their mind this was a descent. This was a demotion from a higher level of an intense spiritual relationship, where there's that clarity in man's relationship with God, as opposed to descending into a physical reality where kiddush achol, sanctifying the mundane, which will take place primarily through mitzvahs that tluyas baretz, primarily, but lav davka, but mitzvahs that tluyas baretz to guide us. we are in agreement, all the Sfarim agree, that in the eyes of the Meraglim, this was a major descent. Now, how this connects to the end of time in Mashiach? Mashiach's already, remember, Mashiach's not the time of Birurim, Eli. Mashiach's already the time of Yichudim. So we have to talk about this. That's really different to Kufa. Mashiach's site is something else. It's not, we're talking about now. We're talking about now. Now is the time of Birurim. And Birurim means separating the good from the bad. Birurim means Lamaisa. It means in physical reality. It means creating, making this world into a place where Hashem's Baruch can dwell. Once the period of the Birurim, of the clarifications and the separations have been completed, we come to the days of Mashiach. That's already the time of unity, of Yichudim. It's already a different bechin. It's already a different level. But we've spoken about this before. On some level, we're going to look back over the years of Golus and miss it. We're going to miss that Mesiris Nefesh. We're going to miss certain things that were maybe more bepoil than more up here. It was more bepoil with the Yadayim and Kiddush Achol and so on. There are certain advantages that we have in Golus. It's hard to say in a way that sounds religious. But I don't mean certainly to sound irreligious. But there are advantages. There are certain things of this world that we're going to miss. Just like the Vilna Gaon, as we've spoken many times, cried before he died when he held up his tzitzis and he said, for a few pennies I could have tzitzis. So when the Vilna Gaon said, we said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? You're going to go to Olam Haba. You're going to bask in Hashem's glory. You're going to be sitting in the radiance of Hashem's presence. And you're talking about buying some strings and tzitzis and all that. What is that? That's what you're going to miss? So the Vilna Gaon understood the value of Olam Haba more than any other person, but he understood also more than anybody else the value of the strings in this world. And there's a certain madrega that you reach when you're touching those strings that you're not reaching when you're in God's presence. And what's that? What is that? That's what the Rebbe's talking about. Atzmus or Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Even the Vilna Gaon's learning never reached that place. The Vilna Gaon knew that. But the Vilna Gaon could outlearn anybody. Even the Vilna Gaon's learning, and before the Vilna Gaon, all the secrets of the Torah were known. Even the Vilna Gaon's learning was still not touching that infinite essence of God. But when the Vilna Gaon would put on his talus, and the Vilna Gaon would like tefillin, just like when we put on tefillin, then I am making a connection to Atzmus Ein Sof Mamish. Now, how all of this relates to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, studying Torah vis-a-vis mitzvahs Maaseis, that's a very big sugya in the writings of the Baal Tanya and the other Sfarim. But I don't want to get into it right now. It certainly is an important thing to discuss. But you know, in L'Halacha, the Tanya Pasans and Rav Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that Mikra Dini, only Yotze, learning Torah if you mouth the words, not if you just read them. And the Gemara says in the Dharm that Akimas Fasayim is a Maisa, that utterance is a Maisa. And the Tanya is very strong about that lahalacha. This is one of the instances where Kabbalah is playing a role in the Rav Shulchan Aruch. Even though the sugyas and Shas do, it's not just the Rav didn't just take it from Kabbalah, but that the Rav is interesting. Pasuk in Hilchos Talmud Torah that if you just read a sefer with your eyes, it's this big suffix of the yotzei in the sefer Talmud Torah at all, without at least pronouncing the words, which is interesting. At least that there should be dibur, should be a madrega of maisis, should be a pu'ula maisis, not just thinking. But it should be b'parol mamish. And since speaking is a level, even though dibur, of course, is not the same as maisa, but at least akimus v'sayim is a maisa, there is some physical participation in my learning when I'm saying the words, as opposed to just thinking about the words, when I'm saying the words. It's a very big sugya, how it all relates to the mitzvah of learning. But When a Jew does a mitzvah maisis, when he does a physical mitzvah, that's what's happening. This was the mistake that was made by the generation in the desert, the Meraglim. They didn't want the physical mitzvahs. The Raiva mitzvahs, Tluyas, I guess, Baritz, most mitzvahs depend upon Eretz Yisrael. Rak Rotsu Lias B'Midbar. They wanted to remain in the desert. The Hainu B'chinas Dibur, which means the Midbar. They wanted to remain on that level of speaking to God. Not taking off fruits and worrying about this and that and kodshim and taharis and the zorah. They didn't want that. They wanted to be in the midbar, which is the bechinas dibur, as it says in Sheishim, umidbarech nava. Your desert is beautiful. You ever hear of anybody in history says such a thing? A desert is beautiful? It's desolate. But that's exactly what the Meraglim loved about it. What they loved about the desert was that it was empty. It had nothing of this world. In this physical world, the closest you can get to the next world is a desert. It has nothing. It has nothing. There's not even air conditioning. There's nothing. It's empty. And with Baruch Na'ava, the beauty of the desert, the pshat is that the beauty of being in a place of dibur. Laham shech elokus bebechinas dibur. Ube'emes ikar hamshocha b'maise davke. Now this was their mistake. The ikar hamshocha, the essential means and the most powerful way of drawing from the surrounding light, from God's essence, kivyachol, into this world, is b'maise davke, is davke through physical actions. Shezel klal, this is a rule. Shekol ha-gavoya gavoya b'yoser, yored l'mata mata b'yoser. The more exalted, the higher, the greater something is, the more ability it has to descend to the lowest place. Right? If you have a weak flashlight, so it can get from here halfway across the room. Doesn't go beyond that. If you have mamish, a powerful, a good flashlight, you can get across the room. If you have a floodlight, like from a helicopter, it could go for miles. So, the higher or the taller something is, it doesn't mean tall physically, I mean the greater something is, we understand, it can descend lower and lower. It could penetrate further and further. It can get to that place. The mashal yim b'madreges. I once gave a shiur on this on Shabbos. Reb Nachman said that sometimes a person thinks, I'm such an idiot, I'm such a shaita, I don't deserve to have such a fantastic Rebbe. I deserve a Rebbe, he's a little bit better than me. He's a halbe shaita. He's like a half an idiot. But I don't deserve an Adam Gadol. So Reb Nachman said, what are you talking about? The sicker a person is, the greater the doctor he needs, right? The sicker the person is, the more serious the illness, the greater the maven you need, the bigger the doctor. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest doctor that ever lived. You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was so great, that he was able to connect to even the smallest, and to bring a refuah to even the smallest Jew. Someone who's not that great can only, high school, or elementary school. Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the Rebbe of every Jew, can bring a refuah to each Jew, can bring a Yeshua to every Jew. That, by the way, is the Din of Chanukah, which the Gemara says that the shmonim, the psilis, that the wicks and the oils that are not even permissible, that are not acceptable for Shabbos when it comes to Neir's Chanukah, they're acceptable. So the Mori Naim explains, all the Tzaddikim explain, that it means that that Chanukah has the ability to ignite within a Jew, even a Jew who's not ignited by Shabbos, even a Jew who's not affected by Shabbos. When it comes to Chanukah does something for him. Because Chanukah Davka, the light of Chanukah is so exalted that it was able to descend even into the time of the second Beis Hamikdash when there was no longer prophecy, even into that world of Yevon and Nikbetzu Alai, even into the darkest place of Yevon is Chashech, is Yevon is Greece, right? Darkness is Greece. That's how great Chanukah is. That's why the Chacham have revealed that the light of Chanukah is till the end of time. And therefore, in a certain way, it's greater. It's even greater than Pesach, greater than Shavuos and Sukkot, which is a remarkable thing. That's why you see that by the tzaddikim, that they'll talk about those Yom Tovim that the world didn't make a big deal about, like Tu B'Shvat, right? But the tzaddikim, they were big days. People don't get this. People think that, come on. In America, what was Tu B'Shvat? They give you, we used to get a brown paper bag, and I used to open and look at the stuff. You know, I gave my father loved all that stuff, but I couldn't even eat it. You know, so I mean, peanut. You got a peanut. It was good. It was already a good day, but otherwise, it was all. I mean, Tu B'Shvat is not some. But davka those in Yonim that they're not niglin b'hai alma, that there's an aura, there's a light that is able to descend mamish to touch even the smallest Jew. Look how Chanukah could lift up even the smallest Jews. Look at Purim. These are the Rabbans. But the light comes from an amazing place. So he explains Well, Kamari, now he gives an example to explain this. Listen to what a brilliant marshal this is. Not a marshal, how he demonstrates this. Look. He says, "Ukamay shiriyah." Look, he says, "Look at eyesight, eyesight." He says, "Ukamay shiriyah tayfes davargashmi davke." Eyesight is able to be tayfes, is able to perceive something physical davke, right? With the eyes, you see something physical. You can't see something spiritual. You can't see a sound. You could see, but you see the table. You see the wall. Ushmiya, however, hearing is tayfes kol shiruchni. Isn't that interesting? Hearing is able to perceive something which is more sublime. The ears, you can hear something which is spiritual, a sound. It's not something physical, a sound. Now, Rabbi said, which is on a higher level, seeing or hearing? Seeing is anadim shmila riya. Seeing is on a higher level. Riya is a higher level. So the Rebbe explains what's going on. With my eyes are seeing physical things. My ears are hearing something which is more subtle, more sublime, but seeing is a greater koyach. That's exactly the point. He says, "Vagam she'ena doy mishmi l'riya." Even though hearing is not as great as seeing, "Diriya l'malam mishmiya." The ability to see is greater than hearing. "Mikomakom." Nevertheless, "Riya tayfes davke davar gashmi." Isn't it amazing? Riya, in other words, the powerful of sight, the sight vision is so powerful, it's so exalted, it could even see physical reality. It could descend mamish to the lowest place. Mashenikin shmir. Hearing, it stops along the way. Hearing is only able to perceive that which is... hearing is not able to mamish make it to the end of the race, to the wall. Hearing is able to chab something along the way, but it doesn't make it mamish from aleph till saf. It doesn't descend into the lowest place. The light of Chanukah is so great that it descends mamish to the lowest place, to the lowest Jew. That's why the menorah is dafke l'chadchil is lit what below us are tefachim, lower than 10 tefachim. Generally, the rule is shechina and it doesn't go down. This is dafke l'mata miasar l'mata.
We also want to teach you the same tashma and tachazi.
Right, but in nigla, the language of Shas is what of Bavli is tashma. It's come in here. But the language of the Zohar and Yerushalmi, which is Eretz Yisraelic, which is already a bechina of Nevuah, there the lashon is Tachazi, come and see, Sahai Madrega, come and see. Right?
They say the reason for the menorah is because you can't see it that high. People don't look that high. I think that's the reason it's
worth it. No, I could. That's you skipped a big. You went up a lot over there. We're talking about. L'chadchila, I light the menorah between 3 and 10 tefachim, right? B'seidu. Now you're talking about L'shalta B'ain is 20 amas. But why is it that Davka light? Why is it that the best way to light the menorah is when it's little, when it's low down? You could say L'chadchila higher, right? Make it a few feet. But L'chadchila is supposed to be lower because Chanukah reaches down to the lowest Jew. Because Chanukah is. And the koyach of riya is to see. Seeing means even that which is most physical can be seen.
Is riya limited to physical?
Not only because of with people like us it is. That's Rachmanis. But if we would be the way we're supposed to be, and we'll be when Mashiach comes. Then it will be what? Then all it says, like the pasuk says, that children will be having chazyonis, will be seeing things, will have visions, we'll see.
But our shmiya even now is connected with lachti, isn't it?
Yeah, but what the Rebbe is saying is that's because even though it looks like it's better, but really it's because it's limited. So it's able to perceive something. It's able to perceive something only when it's on the level of a human being. In other words, when it's on a higher level. Hearing means I can connect with something which is my equal. A Jew is a person in God's image, and he's able to hear something which relates to him, which is spiritual. He could hear a voice. A sound is more subtle. It's less physical. That a human being should be able to see To see means even something which is inanimate, something which is a rock, to see something. Even though an hour way of looking at things was the big chokhmah, that's my mishnah. That's silly. It's at a much higher level to hear a beautiful niggun than to look at a rock. But that's not the highest. That's not. It's just because our seeing is not being used in the fullest sense. Really, the fact is, seeing is so great. The ability to see is so amazing that I'm able to see the ruchnis even in something which is physical. Not just hearing it in something which is spiritual, that's good, but seeing it in something which is physical. Well, it's not, you and I, our problem is that we look at a rock and say, what is it? It's a rock. But the way it's supposed to be, this time of the year, Hanukkah is the time of Tikkun Ha'inayim, when the eyes are being fixed. The eyes of Leah are being fixed. Leah is Hanukkah, because Leah is 36, the Gematria, which is 36 candles that we light on Hanukkah. The Holiness of Leah is Hanukkah, and the Chashmonaim are descendants of Leah, which is Tikkun Ha'inayim, the eyes of Leah. In this world, Leah's eyes were Enei Leah Rakos, were not beautiful. And Rachel had more beautiful eyes. But in Pnimius, the eyes of Leah, and the Tikkun of Leah's eyes are much more powerful than Rachel's eyes, the eyes of Leah. The eyes of Leah, mainly. But in our present state of things, it's sad, but we don't see the whole picture. We don't see everything. You remember by Maimon HaSinai? So there it says that they're able to see the sounds. That's something. We don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. But they're able to see the sounds. That's something. Right? But right now, we're just not... But we have the potential to see spirituality in physical things. In the meantime, it's limited to seeing physical things. But this too, the Rebbe says, is a revelation, actually is revealing, is telling us something about the greatness of eyesight. That eyesight is so great that it's even able to perceive physical reality, ideally, the spirituality that's within the physical reality. In a less ideal world, what we're in right now is just seeing things.
You go to the Supreme Rebbe's today, and they're seeing more than just the physical also, even today.
They're starting to notice things, right. Oh, listen, right. It used to be. So really, we don't see that this looks like it's something which is inanimate, but if we would see electrons, whatever, the neutrons, we'd see what's happening. It's not stationary. Nothing is still, right? I mean, I know you study science. I just remember hearing that stuff's moving around all over the place. We just don't see it, right? So isn't it true that this is not really solid? This is not really solid. It looks like it's stationary, but it's not really. It's the density and so on, whatever, however that works, but it's not really solid. No? Isn't that true? I don't remember. I don't know. It was something like that. because my density doesn't allow it to get through. But I remember there was something.
You go to Rebbe's, and Rebbe's also, they look at you, they don't just see the physical. That's
100% is true. 100% is true. They see in a different way. Tzadik, Eini Hashem El Tzadik, and a tzadik sees with Hashem's eyes. And that's why the tzadik is able to give you a chance to see yourself in a real way. And that's why it sometimes hurts to go to the tzadik. Because you have a second, like Rabbi Nachum explains, Nosen by Eina, right? When Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai came out from the cave, and he met up with the Yehudim in the game, that was the one who got him in trouble, right? So he met up with him. So it says, Nosen by Eina. It says he looked at him, and he turned him into a pile of bones. Remember? So Rabbi Nachum says, Nosen by Einav. Hakum doesn't say his stakal boy or hibid boy. He looked at him. What does it mean, Nosen by Einav? So Rabbi Nachum said, because when you come to the tzaddik, when you stand near the tzaddik gives you his eyes. Nosen by Einav. And then you see who you really are. And hafach, he turned into a pile of atzamas. Atzamas means reality. Atzmis. Gal means what? Revealed. Gal shel atzamas. The tzaddik lends you his eyes, and then the reality of who you really are, you think you're the coolest guy in town. And then the tzaddik lends you his eyes, right? Eina Hashem, and the tzaddik has Hashem's eyes. Eina Hashem al tzaddikim, and then nosen by einav, and then you're able to see what your life really is. Become a pile of bones, a gal shel atzmis, a gili of the atzmis takes place when a person sees that with the tzaddik's eyes. It's interesting. Like, oh, it's already light. Just finished a little bit now. Daila Hakimir Mizah means what? That for a wise person, it's enough if you give him a hint. Right? Dalkim b'mizah. What does that mean? The seichel amoik b'yoyser, the deepest wisdom, bo b'remez. It's only hinted at. Davke. A little bit deeper. It's not spoken out. It's not spoken out. When there's something which is very, very deep, it can't be spoken out. It's with a wink of the eye. It's with a gesture. A physical gesture. Isn't that amazing? You would think that the deepest thing would be a sonnet, would be a poem. But that's not true. The deepest thing is when the mother looks at the baby. Not when the mother tells the baby I love you. That's already a disappointment. Really, it's not the same anymore. So Daila Hakimba Ramiza means that true wisdom, it's enough that there's a physical gesture. The physical gesture is deeper than all the svarim, all the explanations. A nod, a wink, a certain look. Daila Hakimba Ramiza. It's more exalted than all the poems and sonnets. And any person who wrote all those poems and sonnets would gladly trade them in for one person who would look at him in a real way. Or he could look at him in a real way. But Dafkalabadiba, not with speech. Then Abnei Amkas HaSeichel, because this Indian is so deep. And Yochel Lova Bidiba. It can't be in words. It needs a much deeper Kayach, which is what? The Pearl of Maisa. Can be Remez Dafka, which is a physical gesture, a hint. V'chen Oisis HaChakukim. What does that stand? Olive Bay's Tassel. Yeah. Maybe I know when I was learning this, I didn't know then. I don't know it now. Sometimes when I learn it before, I don't get it. But then when you're learning the Rabbim, so then the Rabbim helps you understand it. But you're not helping me, so I don't know what it stands for. I still don't know. But it happens to me all the time. A lot of times when I'm preparing, and you know, I look over a sefer, and so I say, no, okay, man, I'll do it with the chevra. I'll get it. I'll go over it 10 times. I don't get it, but then you sit with other Jews, so you understand that.
In
the Shia. Oh, this happens all the time. This happened plenty of times because the Baruch Shalom. Because first of all the hearts and the minds come together and they're trying to understand. And one is mekabel dein midein. Each one is giving over to the other. Besides the fact that the Baruch Shalom loves Jews and he wants them to understand. So even if the person who's saying it is not zeicher, but that's no reason why the people who are listening shouldn't be zeicher. They're right to hear it just because I'm not right to say it. But anyway, it's not working. It's not working now. Okay. Rosh Tevet is this kind of thing. The mekol zeh muvan shakol. Therefore we understand the greater something is, the more exalted something is, it has the kirch to descend mamish into the lowest place, into a remiza balm, into a physical gesture, into a hint. Now can we have this for a second? Let's stop now and Amir Tzashem will finish it next week, the Inyan, where he begins to talk about how planting works with seeds and mitzvahs and plants, exactly what we're learning the Maral. But to bring this mamish to the final nakuda of what we're talking about.